mayor of a great tangle whose late is one for all and whose wit is one cake.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. Later on tonight, we're going to tell you about Brexit, what it means, what it is. No, it is not the door you use to leave brunch. That is not the Brexit. The Brexit is something else entirely. And if you don't know what the Brexit is, yeah, hold on to your hats. Tomorrow's going to be a very interesting day. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook. You're on Facebook. We're on Facebook. Let's be friends. All you have to do is like us. We're likable. Well, Lisa's likable. Like Lisa. Don't like me. Like Lisa.
I mean, at least, yeah, we got half likability. We're like the Donald Trump of Boston Radio.
Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Go on over there. You can like us. And I'm going to be telling you about the coolest new development in toys later tonight.
Ooh.
Coolest ever. Like, this is huge. This is life-altering.
Nerd alert.
It's big. Well, yeah, kind of. But I think a lot of people are going to be very, very excited about this. So, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And it's hot out. I got my first sunburn of the year.
It's not.
I hate it.
It's not that bad out today.
No, it's beautiful.
Just wait till Sunday, or as I like to call it, Lisa weather. It's going to be 92 and sunny.
Yeah, I do have a bone to pick. I've been searching for in every single store. I cannot find SPF 4 anymore. Apparently, they don't make it.
No, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, so I had to upgrade to 15 this year. But I still got burnt.
SPF 4 is also known as placebo.
I basically just soak myself in some baby oil and use the excuse, I'm Italian, I don't burn, which is incorrect.
Yeah. Do they make SPF 5000 yet? Because I need that.
You need that.
I need that for the top of my
you
head.
And your, it's actually funny because I pointed out to my friend that I was at the beach with, to a gentleman next to us in jeans, and I said, my co-host Derek wears jeans to the beach.
Yeah.
So, if you go to Nahan, you will not be alone in your attire.
That's good. That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, because that's like, I'm surprised, like, just walking around New York City on Sunday, I got, like, massive head burn.
It was warm.
It was hot. I mean, mm-hmm. It was hotter down there than it is up here, you know, through the early part of the afternoon. So, get the sunburn. That's not good for you.
Mm.
Especially me. I mean, I'm skin cancer waiting to happen. it's really. I mean, I shouldn't be leaving the house without sunscreen or a hat on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wear a hat because it's hot at this time
of
year.
Yeah, the lack of hair on top.
Yeah, this is just like...
Not good.
Just waiting. Waiting.
I know it would kill you probably to wear a Red Sox hat. You always make fun of the baseball.
It's too hot.
Yeah, I know.
Is even the ventilated hats. Because it's like, the great thing about this, about the no hair, the heat just flows out
itself.
Of there. Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's like, yeah, you get sweat on top of your head, but it cools off very quickly. And it's great. Whereas if you're wearing the hat, it's all just sort of like getting swampy up there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
grab a t-shirt. Do a little
I'm not,
turban type thing.
I'm not doing that either. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well.
I don't know what anybody's going to do, but we're going to try and figure it out right now. Lisa Nichols, what do we got happening in this mad, mad world of ours?
Well, today in local news, we learned Boston says goodbye to the head of one of our local schools. The headmaster of prestigious Boston High School has announced she will resign at the end of the school year. After a race scandal rocked the institution, Boston Public Schools confirmed Tuesday. Headmaster Lynn Mooney Tetta has been the subject of a federal investigation over the handling of a reported racial tension among students at Boston Latin High School. Boston Latin is the nation's oldest public school, which was founded in April 23rd, 1635. Quote, we have faced challenges this year, and I have been greatly encouraged by the commitment of our students, faculty, families, and alumni to work together to collaboratively address issues of racism and discrimination in our community, Tedda said Tuesday. In January, Boston Latin High School student called Black Leaders Advocating for Change and Knowledge, released a YouTube video raising concerns about racial slurs written online by white students. The group reported the incident to the headmaster and launched a social media campaign to tell the world they were unhappy with the response. Later that month, Mayor Marty Walsh called for the investigation into the allegations. In March, also, a federal investigation was open. Now, if you remember, we were talking about this show back, or this in the show, back in March.
And I believe I was asking why people weren't being fired. Was I asking that?
That is true.
That sounds like something I would ask in this situation.
Now, what's interesting about this, originally what happened was a lot of the blame instantly was put on the superintendent, or the spotlight was, and that's Superintendent Tommy Chang. He accepted the resignation of Headmaster Tedda, but it's interesting how the focus went from solely him to just her, where I believe that we discussed on the show that it should be placed on both people and there should be a longer investigation on what's going on. It's only so much what an internal school investigation can do. We didn't really hear or see any statistics that were coming out of the federal investigation. Everything that's been reported, whether it be in local news or national news, is coming out from their own school district investigation.
Can I say that?
So, where is this federal investigation? Where are these?
Can I say that I'm not impressed with either of these people?
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she doesn't have a clue, that she's one of these career bureaucrats who just hides under her desk until problems go away and people move on to something else and forget about her, which is how she's been able to keep a job for as long as she has. He is not articulate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Tommy Menino is the mayor of your city, I can understand having a superintendent of schools who's not that articulate.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
Apple doesn't fall from the tree.
We don't have that anymore. We've got mushmouth Marty Walsh, you know, who's always a little...
Slightly more articulate, but still barely lucid in his, you know...
But I'm watching this guy in this press conference last night, and I'm like, this is the best we can do? Like, I gotta believe that job pays good money, because we're talking about a big city school system.
I'm going to say upwards of maybe $200,000 a year.
This is one of your leading educators in America? I'm not impressed.
Now, here's the thing. We talk about it being one of the most prestigious high schools in the country in Boston.
Yeah.
But it is also a public school.
They teach racism better than any other high school in America.
Now, public schools, as you assume, are publicly funded.
Yes.
Where does that money come from? That money comes from your tax dollars. So how do you, as a taxpayer, feel about your money going to a school that possibly has race tensions going on, but also has a, you know, floppy investigation?
As a white male.
And those are the people running your school.
As a white male, and it has been pointed out to me constantly that I am the root of all problems in America. And as I have noted on this show before, I like to wake up every day and think about new ways that I can hold the black man down. I'm perfectly fine with my tax money being spent to teach racism to other white children.
Oh, are we regressing back to the 50s and 60s?
Well, no. I think that's just the status quo.
Yeah. Now, if I ever do have children, I would only hope that my single fear of them being in a public school in the Boston area was, you know, that Bobby wasn't sending them a Facebook invite and they're in the same class. Not that they're going into school and they're overhearing people talking about lynching the fellow 15-year-old in their class.
Yeah, here's the thing. If this is going on in the middle school, I can sort of get it. I'm not going to say I'd tolerate it, but I could sort of get it, because you're dealing with immature kids. And that's when you have somebody grab those kids and put them in a classroom and say, listen, here's why what you're doing is wrong and why you're going to get thrown out of this school if you ever do that again. Boston Latin is one of the most prestigious schools in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They can kick people out of that school.
You need to be accepted. I mean, it is a, you know, special honor to be put in that school.
And there are a lot of kids that would love to be going there who mm-hmm. won't be racist.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
I mean, you know, next door to my work, last Monday, we had the graduation for Boston Latin, and I got to talk to a lot of the students that were graduating. I mean, the list of colleges that they were going to be attending were at the top of many people's, you know, reach schools.
Yeah. Yeah,
so these are
the best of the best. And I do not want to see racism and tolerance for racism ingrained in those students. If you're in high school and you think that's a way to get through life, you're out of that school. That should be the rule. That should have been the rule as soon as this came out. We want to know exactly who's responsible mm-hmm. for this, and they're out.
But I almost want
to... But the rich, powerful parents are never going to let that happen. So they're happy to have... incompetent headmaster who will hide under her desk and hope that somebody sends a penis mm-hmm. picture or there's a sex scandal or something else and this goes away so that she can keep her job.
I would love to know, though, the school culture, because we're not talking about a school that is predominantly Caucasian. I think it is predominantly African American. There's a maybe what? 50-60%?
Boston English and Boston Latin are pretty well integrated. Mm-hmm. Much, much more so. I don't know.
But it's not like you have the two black kids in a school of, you know, a couple thousand.
Yeah, but that's not right there either.
No, and absolutely.
We don't
and that's
we
not
don't
the
have
point
black
that
people here is not an excuse
not the
for
point
being racist.
That I'm trying to make. What I'm saying is you would assume it would be less prevalent.
No.
There's always going to be that one stupid person that's making a comment that, but...
But this was more than one stupid person.
Absolutely.
These were organized activities.
We have multiple claims from different parties saying this.
Yeah.
And when we reported it first in, it was either January or March, when you were having one of the students, I believe she was a freshman, whose mother was an alumni of Boston Latin and on the board, really raising concerns about this. She was one of the leaders to push this and say, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
I mean...
This was a culture at the school. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be the brightest school in the country. We need zero tolerance for racism in our public schools.
Oh, absolutely.
Period. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let alone the elite academy. It's part of the public school system. We need zero tolerance for racism in our public schools. You want to go home and be racist, kids? Go home and be ignorant and be racist and have a miserable life. When you're in school, when you're in public, zero tolerance.
No, absolutely. Because if
That's
you
simple.
Decide to do it in school, then you can stay home and be racist because you will not be accepted in that and you will be suspended, if not expelled.
The way that kids look at it, if I can get away with it in school, I can get away with it in work, I can get away with it in the bar, I can get away with it with my friends.
No, absolutely. And this is where kids really learn the foundation of how they're going to live their lives.
Yeah.
Yes, you can learn so much growing up, but I feel like that time when you're, especially in middle school and high school, you're kind of coming into your own. You're becoming a little more independent. You're maybe accepting more ideas of people around you, not so much in your own home. If this is a culture that's going on in school and you're hearing it at home, you believe that it's okay.
By the time
it's not.
By the time you're in high school, it's too late. I think it's too late by that point. I think it's hardened, and you may learn how to play the game and hide it,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to be racist.
No, and we wonder why, you know, so many people are the way that they are as adults. You know, the few racist kids in Boston Latin aren't changing the whole core of the United States, but if this is going on here, I'm sure it's going on across the country.
But these kids are also the future leaders of America.
Yes.
These are the kids who are going to Ivy League schools. These are the kids that are going to run businesses. These are the people, kids who are going to approve bank loans. These are the kids who are going to become mortgage lenders and doctors and scientists and run technology companies. And the racism that they have learned is going to be a companion for the rest of their lives. And it is going to shape their attitudes. And it is going to shape the world that they create. And that is profoundly disappointing. I'd be kicking out the superintendent too.
Mm-hmm.
But at least we got rid of the idiot headmaster. So good luck. Good riddance.
Bye.
Yeah. Go to Mississippi. Go to Arkansas. Go to Kentucky. Go to some place where they tolerate racism, and no one's going to question you about that.
In well.
Yeah. In national news, congressional Democrats today took not a stand but a seat for change. Led by Georgia Congressman and former civil rights leader John Lewis, more than 100 Democrats from the House and Senate have staged a sit-in on the floor of the House chamber and are refusing to move until Speaker Paul Ryan agrees to hold a vote on gun control measures. In a statement to reporters, Lewis said, quote, "There comes a time when you have to say something, when you have to make a little noise, when you have to move your feet. This is the time. Now is the time to get back in the way. The time to act is now. We will be silent no more." Both President Barack Obama and former President Bill Clinton tweeted their support, with Clinton stating, quote, "This is leadership." I could not agree more with former President Clinton, who has his good moments and has had his bad moments. But I applaud everybody who was involved in this down there. I believe this includes Catherine Clark and Seth Moulton, who are actually doing something.
Elizabeth Warren.
And, well, of course Elizabeth Warren's going to stick her nose in this.
But dancing around there in Washington.
You know, look, this is one of the defining issues of our time. This is a public health crisis. This is a national security crisis. This is a civil liberties crisis. This is almost every major crisis you can think of rolled into one. And nobody's doing anything about it.
If anybody listened to our show last week, Derek and I had a pretty interesting conversation about what we believe is right on gun control. Obviously, I shoot
Give
guns.
Me more guns! Get away my guns! You I know, need my guns. I'm Lisa Nichols, and I'm here to shoot guns.
Yeah,
I'm here to shoot anybody
who
tells me I can't shoot guns.
Clips. No, I'm slightly more logical than that. But I do agree with you slightly, Derek. This is a very important moment. And what they did, of course, I see the picture of it. And I think of, you know, just the little kids locking themselves in their room while the parents are outside. But if you actually read some of the measures that they were going over in the past couple years and a couple days, one being that nobody should be allowed, if you are on the no-fly list, to be able to purchase a gun. That I 100% agree with. Absolutely. And again, if somebody accidentally gets on the list, which we have seen, if it inconveniences you, that inconvenience I am fine with. Absolutely.
Do you know how many people are on that list? Approximately 5,000. Do you know how many people are in the United States of America?
So then my question is...
300 million.
Then my question is, as a Republican... talking to my fellow Republicans, why at the minimum can we not pass that? What are they thinking in Washington? Why can we not at the minimum pass, if you are on the no-fly list, then you will be held your purchase for 3 days?
I would like to see someone compile a statistic that shows the number of innocent people murdered in these mass shooting events versus the number of people who wrongfully wound up on the list. And I have a feeling that we're going to find out that the number of people murdered by spree killers is much, much higher than the number of Americans whose Second Amendment right to own every type of weapon known to mankind has been mildly inconvenienced.
Also, another one that was shot down was that everybody needs to have a background check. Not only if you go into a gun store, but also if you go to a gun show or you purchase online.
Gun
Why
show loophole.
Why can't we pass this?
I don't know. They've been trying to do this for years, and nobody can offer a good reason for why it hasn't happened.
As a pro-gun advocate, this is what I'm saying.
Except the National Rifle Association keeps threatening to unseat Congress people who vote for it.
No, any logical person could look at that and say, this whole rhetoric of they're trying to take our guns, even I understand that. Somebody that is so far right, how can you not get that? That's not what we're trying to do here. It's basic fundamentals of trying to keep people alive. That's what it is.
Obama's coming from a guns. Obama's coming from a guns.
You know, where does this end?
I told you what my solution is last week.
And I disagreed with it.
My solution.
To a point, I think your solution was so small, your expectations.
My solution is let people have all the guns they want. Because gun by itself cannot hurt anybody. It is ammunition and bullets that kill people. Mm-hmm. You can bludgeon someone to death with a gun, but there are more effective tools for that. So my solution is let everybody have all the guns they want. You can only buy 10 rounds of ammo for personal use at a time. And then you have a 7-day wait before you can get 10 more rounds of ammo. Unless you're going to the gun range. You can go to the gun range. You can buy all the ammo you want. You can shoot all day long. Okay,
which I'll give you on that.
If you're on one of those hunting ranches, mm-hmm. that they have, you can buy ammo there,
like
to go
where
and hunt.
I go out in Harvard, Mass.
Sure,
it's about a 50-acre property. I understand that you can go into the cabin right up front, get your ammo,
go shoot some deer,
mm-hmm. and people are going to say there's ways around it. People make their own bullets, say for their rifle or their shotguns.
Who has the time?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I'm 3D printing bullets. No, you're not.
What you're saying and what I disagreed with originally was you said 10 rounds, and I believe it should be a little bit higher. Because for the majority, if you go into any store, you're not going to find a box of rounds that is less than 50 or less than
100. They will make 10 round packages.
Absolutely.
They will make them.
I understand.
And if you need more than 10 rounds for everyday household use, you're a terrible shot. You need to go to the gun range and get better. We cannot have people in urban environments. And I'm sorry, but almost all of the Orlando area is an urban environment with the occasional little bit of swampland stuck in there. You cannot have people in urban environments walking into a store and walking out with 500 or 1,000 rounds, mm-hmm. of ammunition.
That I can agree with.
Nothing good is going to come from that. The FBI screwed up royally here, and they're still ducking and hiding from that. But why can't the House, because the Senate voted on those two measures that you mentioned, one which was background checks for everybody,
mm-hmm.
No high-capacity mm-hmm. clips, I forget the first one that you mentioned was...
That was having to do with the...
The no-fly list.
Yes.
Can't get weapons if you're on the... Or you got to wait.
Well, there were two parts of it.
But you got to wait.
There was, mm-hmm.
And they were actually going to expand that to anyone who was on the terror watch list. And then I forget... I don't know what the fourth one was. I think that might have been an mm-hmm. actual ban on AR-15s.
Why can't all, we in all Washington...
Defeated. All defeated, okay? What John Lewis and everybody else who's sitting on the floor of the House of Representatives right now is asking Paul Ryan to do is simply to have a vote. Simply to have a vote. Why is anyone, I don't care how much money the NRA is throwing around. Look, I get it. You don't argue with the people who have guns because they have guns. That's a bad idea. At the same time, all they're asking for is a vote. They're not asking for guaranteed passage. They're asking for a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the damn vote.
Why can't we in Washington pass something where, across, because I believe that Massachusetts gun laws are good. They are. I mean, and I believe that everybody...
A lot of illegal guns floating around in a state with good gun laws.
Just like any other state.
I know.
Have very high...
I'm just saying, the laws may be good, but if they're not enforced, they're useless.
And I believe that every single state... in the United States, should pass at the minimum what we require here in Massachusetts. But why can't we get to a point where it is required to have a gun license or to be able to shoot to purchase a gun? Is that so extreme? To just like you need a license to drive a car.
I have a problem with the license. And I will be the first to say I have a problem with the license.
But what would be
because the
your
license
reasoning?
Because I do not like it, and history tells us that as citizens, we should not like it when government makes lists. When government makes lists, bad things happen.
Which and I can agree with.
And when you require people to have a license, mm-hmm. you are creating a list. And you will remember after Sandy Hook, there was that newspaper down in Long Island that published the addresses of all the gun owners in the county.
Yep.
That is why you don't want people making lists. Because those lists will be abused. and those lists make you vulnerable. People who want guns don't like to feel vulnerable.
No, absolutely.
That's why they have guns.
It's like what happened with one of the selectmen in Swampscott last year, where he went around, or was trying to go around, because he had a list of all the gun owners and gun license owners in the city, or in the town of Swampscott, and wanted the police to be able to go in and make sure that your gun was properly stored.
Yeah. And what? That got
knocked down real quick.
Oh, yeah. That idea was over almost as quickly as it began. Because this is why you don't want the list. It's because everybody else can sit there and say, well, if you're not breaking the law, you don't have anything to be afraid of. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Once the list exists, you open the door for someone to come in with whatever screwy idea they have and persecute you.
No, I mean,
you do not want lists. Lists are bad.
If we look at, you know, Massachusetts alone and not talking about purchasing gun, but even a license, it is so much more incredibly easy to acquire a gun license in, say, Danvers, Massachusetts, than it is in Boston proper. It is extremely difficult. And I understand it's the whole logic of it's an inner city compared to the suburbs and what the difference is. But if we look at around the country, I mean, look at a state like Florida. You can basically, as you said, go in there, purchase 500 to 1,000 rounds without a blink of the eye.
There's a reason why these things happen in Florida and not in other states. And it has a lot to do with, like, I don't know why anybody's even in that state anymore. Mm-hmm. We ought to just put a fence up. Like, Donald Trump should build his first wall separating Florida from the rest of the United States so that we can get on with our lives.
No, I am very much pro-gun. But when you hear some of the things that are coming out of Republicans' mouths in Washington, it blows my mind, because it's almost like they put on just blinders to any conversation about guns.
It's because it's an election year and because they are trying to make sure the gun people know.
But also, don't get me wrong, because
we got your back.
In the wake of any tragedy, whether it be San Bernardino, whether it be Paris attacks, what just happened in Orlando, you have every single politician jumping on that rhetoric of guns, 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 guns. We should be talking about, you know, whether it had terrorist implications. But yes, it's also guns. But it's not solely guns.
No, it's not solely guns. But guns...
So I think we assume that Democrats, by them sitting on the floor, want to solely talk about gun, where they normally take the conversation.
Well, in this case,
they do want to talk about it, but they're actually being logical here.
Yeah, they're right.
But nobody wants to listen, and that's the problem.
Mateen, if he wanted to kill a lot of people, would have found a way to kill a lot of people. He would have built pressure cooker bombs like the Tsarnaev brothers did, might have blown himself up, might have driven a car packed with explosives up somewhere. He had a lot of different ways of killing people. The simplest and easiest way he had of killing people was going and buying a lot of ammunition and walking into a nightclub.
In which he could.
This was a terrorist attack. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that this was a terrorist attack. This was an ISIS attack on American soil. This is one of those lone wolf terrorists that we talk about. And we say it's a bad thing. We don't want these guys around. When you make it easy for your enemy to arm themselves and kill everyday civilians, you have a problem. As I have said repeatedly on this show over the last 2 years, this is wartime. We are living in wartime. And if we are living in wartime and we have unknown individuals who seek to carry on the jihad in honor of their overseas friends, we should be taking steps to make sure that neither they nor anyone else can walk into a gun store in an urban area and walk out the door with 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's like the message that Donald Trump says, where we need to stop immigration from coming from the Middle East right now. And people see that as saying, whoa, 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 you hate Muslims. Well, no, he's saying we are in a time of war where we don't know who's coming in. So we are changing our everyday lives to protect everybody here. This is almost the same situation. I mean, people are going to say you're taking away our freedoms, but we now have to change our lives to accommodate what is going on in a time of war. And in a time of war is we have people that are either ISIS-related, ISIS sympathizers, that are trying to kill us.
War is inconvenient. Ask a veteran. Ask a veteran. Oh, and then wonder how it is that you get to sit back at home with your Netflix, with your endless assortment of soda and snack foods, with your endless access to weapons and ammunition and cars and anything else that you could want. Ask yourself how that works out. Ask yourself why that veteran had to suffer for 2 years in the desert with nothing except people shooting at him every day. And you're over here going on like everything in the world is fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. And unfettered access to guns and ammunition is not how you keep a society safe during wartime. It doesn't work. And the Democrats sit around and say, oh, we're not really at war. Republicans will sit around and say, we're not really at war. ISIS says we are. And these lone wolves are doing a pretty good job of dancing around all the security measures we have in place.
We've said it so many times. How many more attacks does it have to take before Washington wakes up?
We should have even gotten to this point.
No, absolutely
we should
not.
Sandy Hook should have been the defining moment where we said enough is enough. All these folks who are protesting in Congress right now just want a vote. So let's have a vote. Let's see where everybody stands. And by the way, leadership is not looking at your constituents and saying, I got your back. You got to keep your guns. Leadership is looking at your constituents and saying, you know what? Party over. Too many people have been stupid. We gotta take these things away from you. Sorry. Because if both parties are saying, you don't get your guns or you don't get your ammunition, then who are they going to vote for? This is a completely misplaced fear. As I've said before, the Republicans could come out tomorrow and say, we support gay marriage, we support transgender rights,
mm-hmm.
we support gun control. What are all these wacko right-wingers going to do? Are they going to go vote Democrat? No. Are they going to sit at home and create a militia? Maybe.
I wouldn't put it past some people.
Oh, so, look, some of them are already.
Yeah.
Some of them are doing that already.
They are almost there.
But this is how wacky, crazy this two-party system is. As everybody sits around and says, well, I'm going to lose all my votes if I don't go along with it.
Of course.
If everybody...
I always need to be on the opposite of what the other party says.
If both parties say the same thing, then nobody has any alternative. And there is zero political risk. This is a moment for both parties to come together and say enough is enough. We have to do something to stop this carnage.
I mean, we're talking about dead people.
And
that's the black and white, plain and simple.
The easiest way to do it, in my eyes, is to control the ammunition. That is the simplest way to do it, is to stop people from going in, getting 1,000 rounds of ammo in Orlando. What do you need 1,000 rounds of ammo for in Orlando? You got an alligator problem? Like, call the guys. They'll come out, yeah, well, they do.
But that's actually
call the guys. They'll come over and take care of your alligator. You don't need to shoot it. Speaking of arms proliferation, North Korea test-fired two of its Musudan intermediate-range missiles yesterday, according to U.S. and South Korean observers. The first missile fell into the sea after traveling 93 miles and was considered a failure by the international observers, but the second traveled 249 miles and may have traveled further if North Korea had not deliberately avoided Japanese airspace. These were the fifth and sixth tests of the Musudan this year and took place in just over 2 hours. The Musudan can fly up to 2,485 miles, making it a threat to Japan and the U.S. territory of Guam.
Mm.
So I'm beginning to wonder if Kim Jong-un isn't just stuffing the engineers into the missiles and saying, first missile didn't work. Put those people in that missile and fire that one.
Right. I'm actually really upset that we didn't have our friend from North Korea, the broadcaster,
yeah.
reporting on this.
I don't know if she's with us tonight or not.
Kim Jong-un, you know, it really shows with what just happened that the government is continuing to advance their ballistic missile technology. And it is in defiance of the United Nations sanctions, which were put on them. It's, I think, a very important moment because what we're seeing is in previous launches, either it's blown up on launch or right after. Now we're seeing with these Musudan, they go a lot further. And there has been speculation, South Korea is reporting, that North Korea has, what, upwards of 30 Musudan missiles? Is it time to worry?
Well, what's alarming about it is how quickly they're conducting these tests.
But for so long, we've just assumed that Kim Jong-un has just been sitting there, sitting on top of these missiles, pressing buttons, playing around like a little kid. And we've discussed so many times on the show, at what point do we either, not that we don't take him seriously, but we actually start making actions? You have Josh Ernst coming out today and saying, well, we're going to do, it was so public relations 101. We're going to do exactly what we've done in the past. We're going to go
to our... Which is nothing.
Which is so funny because he said we're going to go to our allies, Russia and China, because, yes, national relations are fantastic.
They're great allies.
Right now.
we agree with them on discuss. We agree with them on so much.
Yeah. I don't think either one of them is going to help us out, especially where China believes that they are ruling the entire world. And they really don't care about what's going on.
China doesn't believe that, and China would like to keep North Korea on a short leash. And this is the sort of thing that...
Which I believe they do much more than the United States does.
They really don't, because no one on the planet is test-firing a missile and then immediately test-firing another one. And like I say, I'm convinced that the engineers that screwed up the first launch get packed into the second missile. And then no matter what happens, it's all over for them. Maybe you get a short ride before you die. Maybe you get a long one.
Mm-hmm.
I could picture him doing that. This is a little bit of a cause for concern because of how quickly it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
If you're firing, all you need to do if you're North Korea is fire off a missile every now and again. And
make sure they still work.
And you get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a deliberate program to get these missiles to work. And then the question has to be, why do you want to get these missiles to work so badly? What do you plan to do with them? And it's more the speed of development and the rate of testing that is alarming people at this point than any other aspect of this.
But at this moment, do you think that North Korea is, with these multiple test missile launches, acting more on the offense or defense with what they're trying to do? I mean, not in a game situation where they're trying to plan something, but say for in the future, are they thinking they're going to be on the offense or defense?
It depends on what you believe about the people who are in charge.
Because I don't think there's any logical thinking going on in North Korea.
I think the conventional wisdom on North Korea, which is incorrect, is that they're this isolated nation. They have no idea what's going on in the world. They're scared that everybody's going to attack them. That's the message that you get if you read the papers. The reality is somebody in North Korea, certainly Kim Jong-un, most likely a lot of the senior generals, are well aware of what's happening in the world. They read the papers. They talk to Chinese diplomats who, through back channels, talk to the United States and Japan and other countries.
No, absolutely. It'd be ignorant to think that they didn't.
They know exactly what's going on. The proof that they know what's going on is that they fired that second missile at a very steep angle last night so that it would stay out of Japanese airspace, because they know the game changes if your missile is flying over Japan. Because Japan, not just because Japan has said we're going to shoot it down, mm-hmm. but because of what that means in the bigger picture. So there's a lot of saber rattling going on here, but it's increasingly alarming and increasingly loud saber rattling. And you've got to wonder what the end game is here.
No, I've said it before. How many, or what does he need to do, or North Korea as a country do, for it to get a lot of attention?
Yeah.
And we were standing at this line maybe, you know, a few months back when these missiles were happening, and even last year. Now we're moving a little more forward.
But the answer to that
is that
the answer to that question is known. End your nuclear program and you get everything you want. The United States will be the first to send money and food to you. It's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already said when they backed off on their nuclear program a couple of years ago, we had boats full of aid heading to North Korea. Then they started it up again. The boats full of aid turned around and came back to the United States.
Are we going
to
hear more sanctions? What's
There's no more sanctions. There's no more sanctions. What more can you sanction?
Do you cut them off? I mean,
they are cut off. The only way to get in and out of North Korea basically is through China.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And I mean, you actually can travel there for the most part.
There are ways. I mean, there are ways to get across the border from South Korea into North Korea, but that border's closed on and off. China's the only reliable way to get in there. Yeah, and it's no one knows what they're thinking over there, except that some people are certainly aware of what's happening in the world. They're not so cut off that they don't. They know what the consequences are, and yet they continue down this path. Why? Why do you even... No one is going to attack North Korea, okay? If they threw out their nuclear weapons program tomorrow, South Korea is not going to rise up and destroy the North Korean people because the United States are not going to let South Korea do that.
Mm-hmm.
China is not going to let South Korea do that. Those countries are what they are now. And maybe a couple of generations from now, that could change.
It also, I believe, comes from the government. I mean, you have... many, many leaders, one after another, almost, you know, convincing the people of the country that this is how the world thinks.
Yeah.
And that they're all out to get us. So we need to arm ourselves to the max.
Well, this is what they tell the people in North Korea.
Exactly.
So that they'll go along with the military programs and understand why it is that...
go against the government. Absolutely.
Yeah. Why can't we get Beatles records?
Do.
Why can't we get the new Taylor Swift album? Why can't we get...
Because we know it's best for you.
Yeah. Because that's poisonous, corrupting, they're trying to destroy us all with their music and their movies.
Well, today in sports, we learned the puck starts in Vegas. Officially, the NFL has become the first of four major sports to bet on Vegas when it announced Wednesday at the National Gambling Capital would be the home of the league's 31st team starting in the 2017 to 2018 season. The NHL's 10-person executive committee reviewed applications from Las Vegas and Quebec City and recommended Las Vegas be offered an expansion team at the cost of $500 million. The league's board of government unanimously approved billionaire Bill Foley's Las Vegas bid Wednesday morning in a meeting here where Commissioner Gary Bettman announced. The NFL has deferred the Quebec City application, citing a geographic imbalance for the league and the weakening Canadian dollar. The NHL's current alignment has 16 teams in the Eastern Conference, with only 14 teams in the Western Conference. The proximity to Las Vegas has been attractive for the Arizona Coyotes, along with the Los Angeles Kings and Anaheim Ducks, which was one of the city's main attractions. This is the NHL's first expansion since 2000, when the Minnesota Wild and Columbus Blue Jackets were brought in.
I feel bad for Quebec City.
Predicted correctly.
Yeah.
And as we said, I actually believed that it would be announced during the award ceremony. They have the meetings, and of course, this was going to happen. And it's interesting because, again, we predicted in the, whether it be days, weeks, or months following this announcement, we would hear buzz of the NFL and also the buzz of the NBA.
NBA will be the next to move in because they will want to... have a partnership in that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And then the NFL, I predict, around the league meetings ahead of the Super Bowl.
This is going to be, and the minute this got announced today, you were hearing from all the sports wires that this was a possibility.
Yep.
I think it's great. And the hesitancy of originally it going, I can understand from, you know, a league like the NHL, NFL, or NBA is... sports betting.
Yeah.
I mean, sports betting brings in millions of dollars.
But nobody bets on hockey.
Of course. People do. People bet on everything. I mean,
if you're betting on hockey.
People are crazy enough to bet on the color of Gatorade at a Super Bowl.
If you're betting on hockey, you have a problem. You need to go get professional treatment for that. Because hockey is, like, you can't fix a hockey game.
No, you absolutely can.
I
had this conversation with somebody the other night.
Nobody's
going
to shoot?
Well, no, you have a situation where you have bot refs. I mean, if we talk about a game being, you know, somebody up 2-1 in the final 10 minutes, then somebody is caught for slashing, hooking. We now have another player in the box for 2 minutes. That is a very large advantage in the game of hockey.
It's way easier to point shave in basketball.
The NBA, it can go, you know, you cannot shoot. You can accidentally, lose a ball.
Well, we've had corrupt refs in the NBA.
You've had corrupt umps, refs in every single sport. Yeah. It's prevalent. It's going to happen. NFL, they're a little more so there. Or team bias. But it's interesting how the NHL brought up the proximity of other teams to the area, which I don't even think matters at all. Because this is now going to be a sports destination. People that weren't going to Vegas or didn't want the whole party scene or be involved in that are going to go for a game because, you have some of the best restaurants, you have some of the best hotels. It's just so convenient that you can play, blackjack till 4 in the morning.
Can I just say this? Original Six forever, no more Sunbelt teams. No more Sunbelt teams. If you don't have ice, you don't get a hockey team.
Yeah. But again, you'll never see the baseball go there.
No, you'll never
because
see baseball.
Because as you said, a couple of weeks ago, it's really fun to watch football when it's 85 degrees. That's why your Miami games for the Patriots, that's why your San Diego games are so popular for people to travel to.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to be up in Boston or Foxborough Stadium when it's, -2. You buy tickets, you don't know how cold it's going to be. Just so happened this year, it was 75 degrees during Christmas time, but it's not so fun going to a baseball game in mid-July in 134 degree dry heat.
Right.
So.
Is Utah got a hockey team?
No.
So there's Salt Lake could be your next. Kind of sucks for Quebec City, but there is an awful lot of hockey in Canada.
Hmm. And just to remind everybody, not one Canadian hockey team this year made playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
But that's rare.
We'll keep them out.
That's rare, because they've been doing well for.
I know. Just remind me of the beatdown of the
national
classic.
It's the national sport up there, so you don't have to worry about Canadian teams getting back in. But it'd be interesting to see what the next expansion would be. Mm-hmm. Salt Lake City is probably a very strong candidate now because you got teams in Vegas and Anaheim, and it's like everybody can bounce around over there really easily.
Yeah, and I feel like you see because you have in the NHL multiple cities, multiple cities that do have multiple teams. It's just like in, California and the proximity of that and in Manhattan, New York area. Whereas we have this conversation going on right now in the sports world with the NFL and saying some teams aren't as profitable because of their proximity to each other.
Right.
So this is why, Oakland Raiders want to leave, San Diego Chargers, St. Louis Rams. But I guarantee you, you agreed, we are going to see the Raiders going to Vegas.
The issue that you have there is California is not a big football market.
True.
It never has been a big football market. It can support the number of teams that it had, but it can't support more than that.
Mm-hmm.
They now have more than that.
I mean, look at the sports culture or just football culture in Texas. We have a state that has three teams. Every single one is very profitable and very popular.
But Texas is also the same size as like a third of the United States. It's a big state. It's like you can drive, 20 hours to get from, not 20 hours, but you can drive a long time to get from one city in Texas to another to go see a game. So it makes sense to spread that out. Whereas in California, you're looking at 3 or 4 hours.
Mm.
Or if
we look at San Diego to Oakland.
Well, if you're in Oakland, there's another team across the bay. So
at that point, you might as well go to Seattle.
Yeah, and it's like, how much football do I need out here?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see. This is definitely going to add fuel to the Oakland Raiders move to Las Vegas. And there are a lot of people in the NFL who are dead set against that happening, but we'll see.
Well, today in entertainment news, we learned how not excited people are for getting free concert tickets. On Sunday, Ticketmaster alerted its customers it would be issuing vouchers in response to a class action lawsuit settlement. Any customer who purchased a ticket through Ticketmaster's website between October 21st, 1999 and February 27th, 2013 will receive online codes for discount on ticket purchases, discount on tickets, and shipping for those tickets. The class action lawsuit was filed in 2003, claimed that Ticketmaster, purchased by Live Nation in 2009, violated California law by charging order processing fees that overstated the cost of processing order, along with fees on UPS handled tickets that exceeded delivery charges. These fees prompted Pearl Jam to boycott Ticketmaster associated venues in the mid-90s to attempt to organize an alternative tour. Ticketmaster and Live Nation have admitted to no wrongdoing in the connection with the fees or the class action lawsuit. Billboard magazine reported that 50 million Ticketmaster customers were received discount codes, UPS codes, and ticket codes as a result of the settlement, which legal experts say will cost the company $397 million.
Tickets are just 19 bucks. Handling fees are just 99 bucks.
Now, you go to so many shows, you must have.
You know what? I don't think I do, actually. Molly doesn't. So if she doesn't,
really?
I probably don't. Yeah. You know what would be a great way to handle this? Would be the first, like, 1,000 people or whatever that respond get Hamilton tickets.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
If only.
Yeah. That's it. No one's getting Hamilton tickets.
But the reason why so many people were upset, because Sunday we have this announcement coming out, and yesterday they have a list of all the shows. 75% of them are all cover bands. Kids Bop was a very popular one that was available.
They're ripping people off on the Kids Bop?
Have they no shame? One of the biggest things is, you know, 50% of the states don't even have shows available to go to.
Yeah.
If you are one of those customers, if you want to go online and look, so you can go to Ticketmaster, Live Nation, pull up your account, and it goes to redeem vouchers, and it will say it there. So you can expect the following. You get one $2.25 discount code for any future Ticketmaster purchases. So I guess at least that's something if you don't want to redeem them for a free concert show. And that is between October, you know, as I said, October 21st, 1999, and February 27th, 2013. You also receive one $5 discount code for UPS shipping.
Wait, what are the, give me those dates again.
October 21st, 1999, and February 27th, 2013. So pretty much most of the time you had enough money to purchase tickets.
I must have bought some. I must be eligible for this.
You get one for every single ticket purchase. You get also one ticket good for two tickets through Ticketmaster future events. And those are the future events that I was talking about that so many people were excited to go to. Because you have flashing on the front of Live Nation and Ticketmaster.com, you know, Justin Bieber shows, Beyonce. It's almost convincing you like you would get good tickets. Come to find out, a couple cover bands, Dolly Parton, who's probably going to cancel half the shows, some grunge bands. Yeah, nobody that's actually relevant or any of the shows that people want to go to.
Can you just send me some Hamilton tickets and we'll call it even?
Right.
All I want is two tickets to Hamilton.
It's interesting, though. They started just from two guys who bought Wilco tickets in California.
No, you don't want to mess with them Wilco fans. You really
you know,
don't.
Back in 2002, they put this lawsuit. We're talking about a lawsuit that's been going on for 13 years.
Those guys are drunk and ornery, is what I'm going to tell you, them Wilco fans.
So 13 years later, we have a company that's putting out $397 million to customers.
Yeah, something tells me it's going to cost them a lot less than that.
Yeah.
A lot
less. Well, conveniently, they give you all these, you know, special deals for the $2.25 on tickets that you're already paying exorbitant amount on fees.
Aren't they supposed to email you if you're part of the thing and say, hey, come on over and get your free money?
No.
Really?
I think they were, originally it started as emails, but a lot of people I know had points to redeem but never got an email.
Because I get a couple of emails from Ticketmaster every week. They're like, hey, look at all the great shows that are coming. And
yeah,
I'm like, none of these shows are great.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
So check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it. Yeah, because I did definitely buy, we're going back to 99, I bought a lot of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Every Roger Waters and Pink Floyd stop in all that time I've been to. Also, technology news, this has a musical spin on it. Taylor Swift is headlining a group of 180 artists, including Elton John, Yoko Ono, and U2, who are lobbying Congress to update the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, also known as the bane of digital broadcasters like us everywhere, to crack down on unlicensed videos on YouTube. Under current rules, YouTube and other service providers pay no penalty if they take down illegal recordings when notified. According to the artists, these rules no longer reflect reality, as thousands of illegal videos are uploaded each day, generating profits for YouTube and creating a loophole that allows music to be shared without royalty payments. Official videos uploaded by music labels are not part of this complaint, as artists get a royalty payment each time those are played. So if you go and you see, like, Vevo, like, oh, here's the Taylor video, or here's whatever, because almost everything's under Vevo, that's legit. And those usually have millions of views. They're the first ones that come up in YouTube search. The problem that they have is all of these people who are going up there and uploading an album and uploading the singles and just throwing it out there, like lyric version, you know, and really what they're doing is pirating music. And not only can you go in there and listen to this stuff all day long and the artists aren't getting any royalties, you can, if you know what you're doing, just rip the soundtrack right off of that and never have to buy an album. So with a little bit of software, this is the new and improved Napster.
If you Google anything and any song, it will pull it up in 2 seconds in multiple formats. So not just talking about YouTube. Are we ever going to get to a situation where somebody goes to a concert of an artist and uploads a full song performance, whether it be on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube?
Yeah, that stuff. People upload the concerts all the time. You can probably, now that Facebook Live is out there, you could probably watch whatever concert is happening anywhere in the country right now.
Well, essentially,
unless it's Adele and she's going to yell at
you. It's free promotion.
That's not the kind of free promotion that artists want. Because the reality is,
but if we're taking video of a show, of a performance, I believe that over, you know, a lyrics only YouTube clip is far more a promotion than.
Ultimately, people just want the audio. People just want the MP3, and they want it for free. And that's,
don't care about the video.
And some companies are very good about policing that, and some are not. YouTube has automated systems in place to try and stop this. And they will immediately take down a lot of music. They will suspend your account. But the people who are doing this just keep pumping this stuff out. You know, you've got an algorithm going up against bots in a fight to the death to see who's going to win. And the bots will win because the algorithm takes months to program. You can switch out the code in the bots in a matter of seconds. Oh, all these videos are getting kicked off of YouTube, well, I'll change this one thing, and then they'll be uploaded.
But what's even the point of doing it?
To get views, to get advertising.
Get views, but is there? Well, no, yeah, there is. There's advertising on certain channels.
Yeah, there's advertising on the people who are uploading this stuff are doing it to get the advertising money, and it's like you're uploading.
Essentially, somebody is profiting off of.
You're uploading thousands of videos to make a couple of bucks, but you can do it, and it works, and it's sort of the bane of YouTube. But if you're these artists and you're saying, look, we went through all the right channels, we're doing everything right, and there's still pirated content out there that we're not getting paid for, yeah, you got to complain. I think the entire Digital Millennium Copyright Act should be thrown out because it's a nightmare that didn't work when it was passed. And I doubt Congress is going to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
Not that they don't have enough going on right now.
Because every time this stuff comes up, everybody comes out of the woodwork and starts screaming and yelling.
Every single artist, yeah.
Please deal with gun control first, Congress. Let's have a vote on gun control.